I have the honor this morning of introducing our guest pastor this morning, Tyrone Gray. And I had first met Pastor Tyrone. He has a pastor in Gonzales, and had met him at a David Hogan conference, and just fell in love with he and his family and what they carry for the kingdom of God. And it's amazing. And so as I was preparing for One Louisiana, and okay, God, I need an African-American male who loves unity, and they need to open the conference, and they also need to pray for unity in our area. God kept laying him on my heart, And so I contacted him, and he goes, "Michelle, me and my wife just got off of a 40-day fast specifically for unity." And so this is such an incredible man of God. He's just amazing. I still go back to one, and when he talked about being a child on the playground, and can we just go back there? And if you were there, I mean, that moment just was exactly what we needed at that moment. He's such an incredible man of God, and it's such an honor to have him here this morning. And so you can come on up, Pastor Tyrone. Let's welcome him. Welcome, welcome.
Well, good morning. It's an honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. Like Michelle said, we pastor a church in Gonzales, Louisiana. How many of you have ever been to Gonzales? I'm sure a good bit of you, right? Well, that's where we at. We've been there for 13 years. And let me tell you, plowing and working, man, we are called the grassroots work. I mean, we wasn't a break off from another church. I mean, it broke out in a home group meeting by the voice of God speaking. And my prayer was this: God, send me to a city or to a place, if you're calling me to preach, that to a people who I wouldn't be normally to reach. Katrina happened. And we were on our way to Dallas. We thought that we were moving to Dallas. And so I couldn't stand driving to to Ascension Parish, because that's where my in-laws lived at. But Katrina hit because we lived in Baton Rouge. So it's like, I'm not going out there. I mean, that's like another state going over there, you know. And so Katrina hit. We get Katrina hits. My apartment owner, the apartment we're living in at the moment, man, we were good friends. I mean, I had a landscaping company at the time. And my wife called. She said, "Baby, well, we have an eviction notice on our door." And I said, "Hey, look, don't even worry about it. You know, I mean, I get it taken care of. You know, I'll call so-and-so. I mean, it'll be all right." So, man, I call him up. And I said, "Hey, look, got eviction notice. Front office ain't answering the phone." And he just said, "You know what, Tyrone, that letter is right. It's time for you and your family to go." I said, "Well, where are we going to go? The interstates are packed. The gas stations are a mile long." I said, "What did we do wrong?" He said, "You didn't do anything wrong." I said, "Where are we going to go in 24 hours? He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you 48 hours. And he hung up the phone. So I told my wife, I said, "I have good news and bad news. The good news is we don't have to leave in 24 hours. The bad news is it's 48 hours. But anyway, God put us in Ascension Parish with my in-laws. And let me tell you, it has been by God's design, because we've seen God do some amazing things in Ascension. We've seen walls of religion, racism, and everything just come down. In our church, we are a multicultural church. We're probably 60% Caucasian in our church. And let me tell you, we didn't know anyone in that city except for my in-laws. But just to hear the voice of God, and to go to a city in a land that you do not know, just believing that God will meet you. And that's what he's been doing for 13 years. So I'm married. We just made 20 years of marriage. I've been with my wife since she was 13 years old. And man, on the playground, right? And man, we just made 20 years of marriage. We've been together for 27 years. And so the moment when I met her parents was like, "Well, I want to meet this guy." And you know, I mean, I wasn't a guy who wanted to meet a girl's parents. And so she was like, "Baby, if you don't come meet my parents, they told me that we can't be together." I'm like, "Okay, I'll come." And I remember my mom standing in the kitchen with her hands on her hip, and she looks at me and she's like, "You don't look like much." I said, "It's okay." And she's like, "So what are you going to do for a living?" I said, "I don't know. I'm only 16. And she was like, "You know, why am I even tripping over this? That this is just baby love and it's going to blow over. And, you know, and all this will be over with." So I keep reminding her that it's still blowing over 20 years later with four kids from the age of 18, 16, 14, and 12. And we're still going. Amen. So that's a little bit about me and the family. Amen. Just want you to get to know me a little bit. Yeah. So why don't you just close your eyes for a moment, and we're just going to tap in just for a moment, and then I'm going to dive right into what the Lord has placed on my heart for you in this house. You know, Michelle hit it on the head when she said that, you know, these walls inside of our hearts. I really feel like there's an oppression many of you have been struggling with, this anxiety and this weight, fear about your family or your loved ones. And I feel that heavy. Many of you are standing in a road of decision to where that you are literally thinking about making some major decisions right now. And I've sensed that just right here with this group of people this morning. But I want to pray God's grace. I want to pray that God will begin to move these barriers out of your way. Because even before coming here, I know that I was supposed to be here, because you know when you're supposed to be somewhere and you get attacked twice spiritually? That's when you know you're supposed to be here. So I know I'm supposed to be here. I won't reveal what it was, but I saw something. And you guys have something to do with it to kick it out. So this morning, I pray the grace of heaven to begin to fill this place. I pray that God will begin to quench every thirsting and longing heart for more of Him. I pray that the presence of God will become more of a reality in this place. I pray that His glory will begin to touch your very spirit and begin to transform you. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Come on, just close your eyes and lift your hands and just begin to tell Him, "Father, we give you praise." Come on. Come on, just tell Him, "God, I give you praise this morning. I worship you, Jesus. I give you praise, Jesus." I give you praise. As I was coming here this week, the Lord began to say that this is a season of divine invitation. And I want to encourage many of you this morning. Some of you, the door has been slammed on you. Some of you, you've been overlooked. Some of you, you have been done wrong. And some of you, you have never gotten the opportunity to really to tap into what God has for you. But I feel with everything in me that God said that now I'm bringing it back around again to where that I have an invitation from heaven just for you. If you want to title this short sermon this morning, I titled it, "Think About the Invitation." Because there's an invitation that has been given to you. Many of you, you will meet new people in this season. Many of you, where doors been closed, you will begin to see the doors begin to open up. And even some of you that are facing financial situation, you're going to begin to see that this ease and this peace begin to come so that you don't lose your property or the things that you're trying to hold on to. I don't know. I'm just going for it this morning. That's okay. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 22 this morning. Matthew 22. I only have two verses this morning. Easy to follow, right? Matthew 22, verse 4. This is a story about a wedding banquet. that a king is putting on for his son. And his son is getting married, and he want to invite all the town and the people that are in his kingdom to come to this banquet of his son. And it begins to pick up, and we'll pick up reading in verse 4. And again he sent out other slaves and said, tell those who are invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Look at your neighbor and say, there's an invitation for you. Come on, I want y'all to talk back. I know it's early in the morning. I hadn't had my Starbucks either. I mean, it is weird for me this morning. Amen. But he said, come to the wedding. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared. And if there's anything I want you to highlight this morning, is that you need to highlight that this is a season of preparation. Now, many of you have been preparing and you are ready already. But for many of you who have not been in a season of preparation, hear my voice and hear it this morning. I'm telling you, if you do not begin to dot the I's and cross the T's, you'll begin to miss out what God is fixing to do for you. He says, come to the wedding. Everything is ready now. Everything is prepared. It's already fixed. I just need you to come. Think about the invitation, my friends. Think about what the king is offering me and you. Think about to sit at a table with the King of Glory himself. And he says, come. Everything is ready. You are invited. What will your heart say? What would your heart feel like? Will you be excited just to know that God, the King of Glory, invited you at a place at his table? Think about the President of the United States. And if you got one of these beautiful envelopes in the mail and he sent it to you and it got the presidential stamp on it and his markings on it and he says, hey, my friend, you're invited to the special banquet I'm hosting at the White House. And I would love for you to be my honored guest. What would you feel like? Who would you tell you received this invitation? Would you be so excited? Would you be nervous at the same time too? Because you've never received such honor like this before. Would you go on Google? Because Google knows just about everything. And said, how do my attitude need to be to sit in the midst of kings? Or important people? What do my attitude need to be like? What does table etiquette look like? Not just for any old setting, but to sit with a king, a very influential man. Come on, Jesus. See, I'm talking about preparation here. Because God has invited me and you to the table. And the invitation has been given to me and you at Calvary. What would we eat on this table of God? Would he feed me and you the food of angels? But if he do, what would that cost him? The life of his son. Can you imagine what it'll be like to pull your chair up at the table where your name is right there to where it's your own spot? Can you imagine sitting in divine glory, raw presence? Can you imagine the energy that's going through your very being? Sitting at the table of the Lord. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. We pulling up a chair and sitting there where God dwells. Think about the invitation that's given. Because each and every one of us, that invitation has been handed out to us. But how many times, that just like birthday parties, you know, we get the invitations, you know what, everybody wants you to go to their kid's birthday party, or, you know, I mean, man, it's like party after party after party, especially being a pastor, it's like, you got to go to all them parties, you know what I mean, because you just can't do one and not the rest, you know, but can you imagine if you get tired of just, I've been to enough birthday parties. This look like any old invitation? Just another party. See, we can look at church the same way. It's just another church. It's just another service. How many of you came here this morning prepared to hear something that God will speak to you and do for you this morning? Come on, I got a couple back there in the back that raised their hand. God bless you. Come on, Jesus. Because if we didn't come here being prepared, let me tell you something, my friends. I cannot approach the divine table of God at that moment. And now I want to prepare my heart so that I can sit down with him. It's too late, my friends. Church is not a place to where that I come and get a spark and expect glory to hit my life. And for me to just have a seat and a position at the table of God. There's a preparation that takes place, my friends. That preparation takes place in our everyday life from Monday through Sunday. And because we answered the invitation, we don't know when that moment will come, but my heart is already ready. I need to make sure that two things is going on in my life. I need to make sure that God, for first thing, my heart, that God has occupied my heart and that my heart is filled with this love. This needs to be my devotion all week. A heart that is filled with God and thinking of God and filled with his love. This should be my heart all week. I just cannot get ready on Saturday or on a Sunday morning and say, God, you know what? I really didn't do nothing all week, but here I am today. No, there is forgiveness at the cross. There is repentance. But I'm talking for many of us who are really trying to tap into the things of God. And you really need some things to happen, because I'm telling you, there's a seat at the table for you. Let me get back on my notes. If not, I'll be out there in California somewhere. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. And we're going to land here. And then we're going to open up the altar, if that's okay. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm glad to know, reading the blessing of the offering, that y'all believe in visitations and all that. So, I mean, it answered all my unasked questions I had on the inside. Because you don't know how far you can go, right? All right, watch it. So let's go. Y'all okay? We just dive in? All right, Jesus. All right. Man, look, I mean, after y'all read the blessing, I'm like, yeah. Whew. Because sometimes you talk about encounters that scare church folks. It scares them. Like I wanted to talk about an encounter had with the Lord. But maybe we'll get back to that in the next service, kind of past that moment. Mark 14 and verse 12. And it says, we're going to talk about preparation here. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover that you may eat it?" Listen to the details of Jesus. This is beautiful. Verse 13. So he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, the teacher says, tell the owner of the house, the teacher says, tell the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 15, where are we going? He will show you a large room upstairs. It's furnished and it is ready. Come on, look at your neighbor, says it is furnished and it's ready. Now, I might be reading from a different translation. Is it the same? Okay, hallelujah, glory. Boy, y'all got. People are looking a little strange. I'm like, okay, there's a different translation. It's furnished and it's ready. Make the Passover meal there. Let me tell you what God is looking for. He's looking for a heart that's already prepared so that he can come in and dine with them. Listen what he says. You will see a man, follow him, and whatever house he goes into, say to the owner of that house, where is a room where we may eat the Passover? He's going to show you an upstairs room. Now you tell me if God don't already know whose hearts are already prepared for visitation. This morning can be your morning. This morning can be your morning. But I need to make sure that my heart having an invitation to sit at the table, that there's nothing inside of this heart that will make me think or have me to come to church expecting that some great thing should just be opened up for me. And I'm going to explain that. I should not have in my heart thinking that I should be promoted or doing this, because sometime in life we just carry the weight of the world on us. But if I feel that I have a right to be there or to be in a certain position, my friend, these are scary grounds to be on. Because the room has to be prepared and it has to be ready. It has to make room. Anything else other than that, it pushed God out. He can't make preparations there. He can't eat the meal. He cannot set up the table of the Lord in your heart. Whew. Jesus. Jesus. Two things that need to happen for preparation of the heart. I need to make sure that my heart is not filled with no good works. Is that pretty clear? Because you know how we think that we've done this for somebody and, you know, but I've done all this for you, but nobody did this back for me. You know what? I cannot approach God's table with good works. Come on, Jesus. Pow. I felt that. I cannot approach God's table with any expectation of some great thing is fixing to happen to me, is fixing to launch me and catapult me somewhere. I can't come with that because all those things will shut me out. Come on, man. It will disappoint. Come on, Jesus. And two, I need to make sure that my heart, this heart, it's ready for love. Because let me tell you, my friends, if there's nothing inside of the heart, how do we even get to a place of preparation? It's a great question. This is an everyday lifestyle. There needs to be a self-renunciation every day of our life. I need to renounce myself, every good that I think of myself, every good work that I ever done, because when I start keeping scores of what I do, I begin to lose the eternal reward. I'm burnt out. I just do everything. When can somebody else do something, my friends? You burn out because the cloud left you, not because you're working. There's nowhere in the Bible that said that the people in the temple got tired of working. Let me rephrase that statement. You're burnt out because something went wrong in your personal life, in your devotions with God. Because when the heart is free and you're sitting at the table of the Lord every day of your life, boy, I can't wait to get in public so I can light up like a light bulb. Come on, Jesus. I just want to reveal him. I want to make him known. And it's every day sitting at the table of the Lord. Now I want to close with sitting at that table and what that is. Can we just move into the presence of God for a moment? How much time we have? About 10? Oh, man, we're good. Sitting in the presence of God. My own personal life. When I go before God, I sit. No matter what time of the day it is. Sometime if it's early in the morning, it's key. And the reason why it's key, one, is the fourth watch, but two, it's not a lot going on up here when you wake up early in the morning. So you kind of easily tap in. But later on in the day, you got all everything that went through the gates of your eyes and the gates of your ears. All those things have gone in. So when you finally get still before the Lord, sometimes we think about the grocery list or things that we need to take care of. All these things, it's okay. But here's the key. Because to have the glory of God on your life, you need to understand this. I'm going to wait upon him. How many of you know who Pastor Benny Hinn is? I worked with Pastor Benny for 8 years, traveled all over the world. And I've never knew another person who knew the presence of God the way that this man knew. So what I'm telling you is something that from personal conversation and also from experience as well. When you're sitting, I just can't begin to go in there and just begin to speak my mind. And when I'm done, I get up and I leave. Now I know that you guys have covered that and that's, but still, there's many of us who still pray that way. Or we use our car on the way to work. We're praying the car. We got K-Love on or whatever our favorite jam on. And we're singing and we shot tie and byline and all that going to work. Those are good moments too. But to have glory touch your life. Hear me. Because if you want the power of God on your life and to pull up a seat at the table. Here's the key. I need to sit there long enough. Until every distraction lift. If you can't keep a thought, then you're good. It's easy. You got to stay longer. That's an easy fix, right? It's an easy reminder. If I think I have to speak or pray or say something, it's evident I need to stay longer. Because when the glory of God comes, which we all know, or we have experienced in some kind of way, the first thing happened when God shows up is that it's something that we feel. It's like we know, like, oh, God, he's here. We sense that. We know that, okay, he's here. And it's in those moments of us waiting in that and staying in that moment, but only until all the tightness up here, all the confusion up here, to the heaviness in our hearts because someone hurt us, all those things have to lift because he will not compete. He will not compete. But he's waiting at the door. And if you just wait, many of you was right there. And the moment when things begin to shift, you get up and you walk out. to sit at the Lord's table, I'm telling you, my friends, God want to do something with you in your everyday life. And that's for you to sit at his table. Because there at his table, your life will never be the same. You won't need man's validation. You won't need man's approval. You won't need the attaboys and all these things that make us feel good or to applaud our good works. You know, we don't need those things because we're so content with him. We're no longer running out through others. You know what? Others are being drawn. Because we found the source. This morning, even at this wedding banquet, even though the invitation was given, there was still a category of people who refused to make this banquet. How many of you know excuses? Boy, it's one of the traits of the enemy right there. When we start making excuses, why we can't be at church, why we cannot get involved in this, why I cannot associate myself. You know, all these are excuses. It's the same thing that the king began to denounce of those who could not make the wedding banquet. He says, you know, to one, he says, hey, I just bought a piece of property. To another, he says, hey, I just got married. And to another, look, man, I got all these things I bought and I need to oversee the works that I've just paid for. And he said, you know what? These people are distracted by their possessions. They're not worthy. This is scripture. Not worthy to sit at the table. See, you just can't think that God feeling sorry that the table is going to be pulled out for you. This invitation is not just for one, but it is for all because he loved us. He gave his son to die on the cross for us. This is just not an invitation for you and one for you and one for you and everybody else. You know, you just need to get your heart right and live right. And then maybe it's given to all of us. And all I got to do is open it up and receive it. How many of you ready to receive that this morning? Come on, let me see your hand. I want to talk about a few categories of people as we close this morning. One, if you're here this morning, because at this table, what God wants to do with me and you is that even those who are lost or unsaved are also invited to this table. Because if you come to this table being a sinner or someone lost and you receive the invitation, God says now because you received the invitation, by you receiving it, now you will find your place in the Father's house. Come on, somebody. Someone who was once outside is now inside. All because he understood the invitation, what is given to him. Because if we don't understand the weight of what God is trying to give to me and you, we can forfeit what God has. There is more for me and you. And that more is him. It is not the material things of this world. God said that we need to unplug ourselves from the world and come and sit at the table. Because there's a language that's talked there. That's not heard too often upon the earth. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Gray, you know what? I'm not ashamed. I know who I am. I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if Jesus would come back, if I would make heaven. I don't even know if I would go with him, but I do believe in him. And if that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, God, look, I confess my sin. I just want to make a public statement here this morning. I surrender to you. That's right. One hand is going up. There's another. That's right. Just hold them up high. Just not ashamed. Not ashamed. I surrender this morning. You may put your hand down. Pastor Gray, I used to live for the Lord. I just gotten away. I just gotten away from fully living for God day after day, and I just began to do my own thing. But I want to come back to Him. And if that's you this morning, you know who you are. Just make your public confession. Say, God, it's me. I just want to come back. Here I am. Here I am. There's a hand going up. Thank you. Anybody else? There's another hand. Anybody else? Just raise them up high. Not ashamed. Not ashamed.